John's Gospel, chapter 11, reading the first 27 verses. So, page 1077, John's Gospel, chapter 11. Now, a man named Lazarus was ill. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay ill, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is ill." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This illness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. So when he heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed where he was 2 more days. And then he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews there tried to stone you, and yet you are going back." Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Anyone who walks in the daytime will not stumble, for they see by this light world. It is when a person walks at night that they stumble, for they have no light." After he had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, it will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then he told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, also known as Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go, so that we may die with him." On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now, Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet him, but Mary stayed at home. "Lord," Martha said to Jesus, "if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha answered, "I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day." Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this?" "Yes, Lord," she replied. "I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come into the world." Amen. Once again, we thank God for his word. We pray that for us today, it may be a living word. So, you're very familiar with this screen. We've been exploring John's Gospel over these last few weeks. And the key two questions that are posed within John's Gospel, and the questions that John is seeking to answer are, who is the Messiah or the Christ, the King? And what is the nature of this King's kingdom? What is his kingdom like? And he answers the questions, these two questions, with signs and yes, with sayings. And right at the end of John's Gospel, John says, "Look, I've written all of this down. I've chosen the signs, the miracles, these extraordinary events. And I've chosen these sayings as well, so that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name." And John actually says, "There are many more signs, many more miracles I could have recorded. There's so much more of what Jesus said that I could have recorded." But actually, John says there aren't enough books in the world to be able to cope with all the extraordinary things
that Jesus has done, but I've recorded these particular ones so that you may believe, so that you may have faith and trust in Jesus. So we've been tracking our way through John's Gospel, and we've had all of the following signs that we've reflected on so far: changing the water into wine, healing the royal official's son, healing the paralyzed man at the pool, feeding the 5,000 people, walking on water, and healing the man born blind. And yes, there is one more sign at least to come. So you might want to come back next week to find out what that seventh sign is. And then in terms of sayings, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the gate for the sheep. Just before Easter, I am the good shepherd. And we come today to our fifth saying. And this is to do initially with expectation. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. Now put this heading, expectation. And expectation is the first thing that we can reflect upon for a moment. Because the context, as we've read this particular passage, we understand what is going on. Lazarus, a good friend of Jesus, the one we are told who is loved by Jesus, he has been ill. And not only is he ill, but eventually, after a few days, he has died. And we have this extraordinary, perhaps even mystifying dialogue between Jesus and his disciples, where Jesus is saying the illness won't end in death. I'm going to wake Lazarus up, and the disciples, not really understanding what is Jesus talking about, has Lazarus died or not, and Jesus having to clarify, no, Jesus, Lazarus really is dead. And I, Jesus, am going to wake him up, to raise him from the dead. And when Jesus comes to Bethany, we are told that Martha goes out to meet him. And Jesus says to her, "If you'd been here, my brother would not have died." That is the faith, the trust, the belief that Martha, even at this point, places in Jesus. "But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask. Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.'" And Martha's response, Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again on the resurrection, in the resurrection on the last day." And here we have Martha's expectation. Martha believes in resurrection. Martha says, "I know that my brother will rise again, but on the last day." What Martha's really saying is, "I want him back with us right now." But Martha's expectation of resurrection, there was at the time of Jesus, even before Jesus was raised from the dead, there was a general sense, this belief that God was not only able to raise the dead, but he surely would raise the dead. Faithful Jews, even to this day, faithful Jews every day have a prayer that they pray called the Amidah. And it is, if you read the Amidah, the prayer that the Jews pray every morning, they're known as the 18 blessings, the 18 benedictions. In actual fact, there's 19, but who knows. There are these 18 blessings. And the second of these blessings state this confidence in God. "You give life and you will surely raise the dead." And there is this blessing, this confidence that is stated in these prayers each day by faithful Jews, that God is the God who raises the dead. And harnessed with that prayer is the memory for the Jews at the time of Jesus that people had been raised from the dead. Elijah had raised the dead. This was one of the stories that was told. So there is an expectation of resurrection. Within this statement, there is also an expectation of judgment, because the Jews, looking towards the last day, they believed on that day there would be judgment. They talked about the second death on the last day. We die our first death when we die physically, but Jews believed that on the last day there would be a resurrection of everybody. So not just good people, not just righteous people, but bad people as well would be raised to life. And then there would be judgment. And within that judgment, the good people would live eternally. But the bad people would experience a second death. Now, for some, they believed it was hell. Others, they believed they were simply vanquished forever, and they were no more at that point. But they believed that there would be judgment. And so for many Jews, as they expected resurrection, they also expected judgment. That all those people who have done harm to us, all those people who have suffered in the world because of injustice, they will know justice one day. And that was their sure and certain hope and expectation. And then I just note, there is this expectation of fulfillment. This is not simply a statement that Martha is making, you know, just randomly saying it off. It is a living expectation that God, you will do this. That is her trust and her faith, that God will raise the dead, he will bring judgment upon all, and he will certainly fulfill his word. Interestingly, when we looked at I am the bread of life in John's Gospel chapter 6, Jesus says, I think on three or four occasions in that chapter, I will raise them up on the last day. I will raise them up on the last day. That phrase is used by Jesus a number of times. So the first thing we note here is this expectation, a living expectation, that things won't just be as we see them, but God will raise the dead. The response of Jesus is to say to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Martha says, I know he'll rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus says to her, I am the resurrection and the life. And the first thing, just simply to note here, we've talked about this name that Jesus uses, I am. Jesus is divine. Jesus is God. And you'll remember, I've quoted a number of times from Exodus and chapter 3, when Moses is met by God. Moses meets God in the burning bush, the bush that burns but is not burnt up. And God commands Moses, go to my people and go to Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and tell Pharaoh to let my people go. And Moses, not really surprisingly, is not sure about this. And so Moses says, when I go to the people, and they ask me, who is this God who has spoken to you? What's the name of this God? God says to Moses, tell them I am. I am who I am has sent me to you. And Jesus adopts this divine name for himself. I am the resurrection and the life. And that's a reminder to us and for all those who have eyes to see. I am the divine. But I note as well, I am Jesus is resurrection, because there is Jesus here, as well as adopting the divine name I am, he is saying, I am the resurrection and the life. In the same way that he said, I am the bread of life. Come to me and I will feed you. You'll never go hungry again. It's about Jesus. The focus is upon Jesus. And Jesus is here saying, I am the resurrection and the life. Now, last week, Easter Sunday, a verse that we quoted, I wonder if you remember what verse we had on the screen and quoted. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. Do you remember that from last week? Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old has gone, the new is here. And resurrection marks the beginning of this new creation. This resurrection is a time where everything has changed. The old has gone and we see with new eyes and we have a new worldview, a new perspective on things. The new is here. And if anyone is in Christ, Jesus says, I am the resurrection. If ever you wonder, how will I be raised from the dead? I know I will die physically. We all know that death is a certainty, cheery, but death is a certainty for all of us. We will die. How do we know? What is our confidence that we will be raised from the dead? I know my only confidence, my only confidence that I will be raised from the dead is that if I am found in Christ, if I am in Christ, I will be raised. Do we hear that? If I am in Christ, I will be raised because Jesus has been raised. And if I can be found in him, and Jesus says, I am the resurrection. If you want resurrection hope, just bind yourself to me. Get as close to Jesus as you possibly can. Listen to his teaching. Watch his lifestyle and try and adopt them for yourself so that as your life goes on, although it may be an impossible goal, you want to be in a situation where people will look at you and they will look at Jesus and they will see the similarity is such that they will say, this person is in Christ. And the only hope I have, and the only hope for any of us, is that on our day, if we are found in Christ, we will be raised from death. And so Jesus said to I am, but it's me. It's me. I am the resurrection and the life. But that's not all that we have here in this verse. Jesus said to her, those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. I'm the resurrection and life. The one who believes in me will live. Even though they die, will live. Now, Jesus here is speaking about physical death, the fact that we all die. And I know there's millions being spent on trying to lengthen life in ways that perhaps are unreasonable. People who believe that death is not an inevitable, physical death is not an inevitable end for us. And millions are probably being wasted to that end. A refusal to accept that we will die. And Jesus says, those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And he's speaking here about physical death, acknowledging they will be raised to life. Resurrection awaits all those who die. And that is a confidence that we have for those friends and family members, those loved ones who have died. This is our confidence. those who believe in me, even if they have died, they will live. But Jesus then goes on. He said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And then he goes on to say, and everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Now, what's he saying here? If he said, I am the resurrection and the life, those who believe in me, even if they die, physical death, they will live, they will be raised to life. Now here, as Jesus says, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. I think this is about us. We're not dead yet. I don't think. We're not dead yet. We are living now. Now what about us? Jesus has spoken words of encouragement. Even if you have died, you'll live. What about us who live? And that's us. Everyone who lives and believes in me. What's this? We'll never die, but surely we will die. Physically, we will die. And as we live now, we are living, I say, in the midst of deathliness. There is death all around us. There is so much in our world that is deathly. Anything that deprives us of life, anything that deprives us of the fullness of life is about deathliness. And you and I, as we live our lives, as we seek to follow Jesus, as we seek to walk in some way in his footsteps, obeying his teaching, adopting his lifestyle for us, we are seeking to live. Even though the world around us is full of deathliness, that's what we are trying to do. And Jesus here is saying, everyone who lives and believes in me may experience the power of resurrection even now. We might experience that power of, even though all around us, people are trying to take life from us and saying to us, look, death is coming, so you might as well live in death now. You might as well give up now. Jesus said, I have come that they might have life, life in all its fullness. And all around us, the message is, don't bother. Don't bother. Adopt a lifestyle for yourself where you've just given up. You adopt the lifestyle of the world where deathliness gets into your veins. But Jesus says, everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Why? Because we are looking to him, the resurrection and the life. And we can begin to experience the power of resurrection even now. And people will say to us, how is it that you are so hopeful in the midst of such despair? How is it that you are so alive in the midst of so much death? It is because we have fixed our eyes on Jesus. He is our only hope. We have no other hope. And so Jesus makes these statements, I am the resurrection and the life. And then he speaks of those who have died or will die, those who believe in me, even though they die, they will live. They will be resurrected. For us who are still living, you can experience the power of resurrection even as you live. That taking you above and out of the deathliness of the world. And then finally, Jesus challenges Martha. Do you believe this? Do you believe this? And Martha responds, yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ or the Messiah, the Son of God, who is to come in the world, into the world. Here, very simply, making it personal. That's the yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. And it may be that today we need to reaffirm our faith in Jesus, the resurrection and the life. It may be that just as Martha was grieving the death of her beloved brother Lazarus, she still had questions. She still had uncertainties. She still was living in a place of grief. There's no doubt about that. But in the midst of grief, she says, yes, Lord. And sometimes, as the song reminded us a few minutes ago, so many of our experiences seek to communicate to us, just give up, don't bother. But we say, well, you're still God. And we say, yes, Lord. But then we also say with Martha, I believe. I trust in you. That's what it means to say, I believe. I trust you. I trust you. You are faithful, Jesus. I trust that if I should die, you will raise me. I trust that even as I live, you will make the power of resurrection open and evident to me. I will fix my eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ, and I will trust in him. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. May the blessing of his resurrection and his life rest upon us this and all days. Amen. Let's pause and let's pray together.